Hello, everyone. This is Whitney with the Conference for Women. Thanks so much for joining us this afternoon for Master the Art of Making Instant Connections with Mel Robbins. Our theme this September at the Conference for Women is networking, so we're really excited to have Mel on board and sharing some of her insights and advice for our community. Before I start, I want to encourage you to follow Mel at Mel Robbins on Twitter, if you are a Twitter follower. And of course, in your confirmation email, you will have found the hashtags and handles for the Massachusetts, Pennsylvania, and Texas Conference Women as well. So a little bit about Mel. She is one of the fastest rising female talk radio personalities in America. She's a CNN and HLN legal and political contributor, one of the top female talk radio personalities in America, and the COO of C4 Analytics. An Ivy League educated trial lawyer and Google Analytics entrepreneur, her quick wit and refreshing take on current affairs has helped her to become an internationally recognized speaker and best-selling author. So with that, Mel, I welcome you to join our community and share with us a little bit about instant connections. How do we make them?
Well, you know, excuse me, what's so funny is that here I am listening to that bio and I realized, holy cow, my Twitter account is not on right now. And I went to log in. It was my daughter's login. And so I've just been freaking out right now trying to get logged into my own account so I can be following you guys if you friend me while we're doing this. But I will have to do that when we get off the phone. So I'm so fired up to be here, and I'm going to be speaking at the Austin Conference for Women. So I hope you'll come to the session. And what we're going to cover today is stuff that you can put to use almost immediately. The first thing that I'm going to cover with y'all is to teach you the secrets. There are four secrets to almost being able to create an instant connection with anyone. Then I'm going to walk you through some tactics that you can use at networking meetings in order to make sure every networking meeting is successful. And then finally, I'll give you one tip that will allow you, if you have a boss or you have a colleague that's constantly unloading on you and you find like you're the one that's always saying yes, 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 how to say yes to the person and no to the tasks. So if you don't mind, let's jump first on to how to create an instant connection with anyone. Now, creating a connection with anyone, this advice that I'm about to give you guys is based on a bunch of scientific research, and it applies not only in your personal life. So if you are out and you're dating and you see somebody hot across the room that you want to make a connection with, or at work, at a networking event, if you're at a wedding, like anywhere in your life, there are people around you that can probably help you get what you want. And the question is, what are the particular aspects that help you establish a connection with somebody? So the first one, believe it or not, is proximity. And some of these things are going to sound so common sense that it's kind of silly to even be talking about them. But when I explain the reason why proximity is such a huge factor in whether or not you click with somebody, you'll get it. So physical proximity basically means that if you're not standing next to somebody, there's no way in hell you're going to make a connection to them. End of story. So the more you can put yourself directly next to people that you are interested in being connected to, the better off you're going to be. That means when you go to a meeting at work, you sit your fanny down in the chair next to the person that can do the most for you. When you go to a networking event, you kind of crab walk your way sideways towards the groups of people that seem to be the most influential in what you're trying to get done, and you stand next to them. And one of the reasons why we say this is that there was a study done on the police cadets in Maryland. Basically, what they did is they asked all these new police cadets at the beginning of the year when they did their training, okay, who's your buddy here at the academy? And all of the cadets would say various people, right? Typically people they knew before coming in or people they had met during orientation. 6 weeks later, they asked the cadets who their closest friend was. Do you know what they all said? Literally, 93% of them. They said the person that was next to them in the alphabet. Why might that be? Well, because in the police academy, you line up in alphabetical order, you sit in classrooms in alphabetical order, and you room together in alphabetical order. that proximity is what lays the baseline for you being able to make an instant connection. It makes sense, right? So that's number one. Number two is resonance. So resonance is something that you've experienced before in your life. A less fancy word for it is similarities. You know how you go either to a networking event, or maybe you're standing on the sideline of one of your kids' soccer games or something, or you're at a dinner party and you get introduced to somebody you've never met and they're like, oh, hi, I'm Mel. Oh, yeah, where'd you grow up? Oh, I grew up in Michigan. Michigan, I grew up in Michigan. Or my brother grew up in Michigan. Where'd you go to school? Oh, I have a friend or a cousin that went there. Or, oh, where do you work? Oh, I know somebody that works there. Those sorts of similarities, those overlaps that you will, that create a sense of resonance, like I'm resonating with that person, those create instant clicks with people. Believe it or not, for those of you on this call that grew up in Michigan, if you and I establish that, I'm going to be 50 times more likely to remember you. You're going to have a data point to be able to send an email about to me and say, hey, Mel, you know, I'm the one that was, and you can send emails directly to me, by the way, mel@melrobbins.com is how you can reach me. I check it myself, even though I'm nuts for doing that. But, you know, you can send me an email and say, I was on the call. I'm from Michigan. That's a resonance that establishes a click. It's also why it's so important whenever you're at a dinner party, whenever you're at a business meeting, whenever you're in an interview situation, whenever you're out on a date, ask questions. Because that's the way you unearth all those little interesting tidbits about somebody that allow you to establish resonance. Where did you grow up? Where did you go to school? What did you do prior to doing what you do now? What's your favorite thing to do on the weekends? All of that information gets somebody else talking and creates an opportunity for you to find a similarity and find the ability to click. Another thing, eye contact and touch. So there have been a ton of studies done that suggests that if you, especially as a woman, and I know there's some dudes on the call today too, but as a woman in particular, and men can do this too, if you touch somebody as you're talking to them in a very friendly, not a creepy stalker kind of weirdo gesture, but if you reach out as you're talking to somebody and you touch them kind of on the upper forearm, the bicep area, that physical connection right there on that body, it's not intrusive, but it actually establishes a click with somebody. They remember that. They feel connected to you. It's not invading their body space. If you do it in the context of a conversation where, you know, they say something funny and you laugh and you touch their arm, if you direct them up toward looking at something that you guys are talking about, maybe there's a beautiful full moon and you touch the bicep as you are pointing up at the sky, that creates a click. Another thing that creates a click is eye contact. For many of you that have seen me speak before, I talk a lot about how eye contact is one of the most powerful tools that you have at your disposal. And one of the reasons why is because your brain has something embedded in it called mirror neurons. Have you ever been near somebody when they've cut themselves? And as soon as you see it happen, like you hear about somebody slicing an onion and they cut themselves and you're like, oh, and you can almost like feel like a knife going through your skin. Those are mirror neurons being activated. If you look at somebody in the eye, for example, let's say the scenario is you're at one of the women's conferences and you've been kind of drawn toward this particular woman the entire day. You kind of keep seeing her. Maybe it's her blouse that you like, or she just has great energy and you feel like something's telling me I should walk up to that woman and just say hello. The way that you use what I'm talking about right now is first you got to get in close physical proximity, right? You got to cross the room and approach the person. The second thing that you're going to do is that you're going to create the touch eye contact. You're going to look the person in the eye and smile. And as you walk toward them, extend your hand so that you can shake their hand and have the touch contact. Then you're going to say something that feels and sounds kind of odd, but believe it or not, if somebody did this to you, you would be giggling and delightful. Imagine if somebody walked up to you after we hang up the phone. Let's say that you run down to the local sub shop to grab a sandwich after this, and you're standing there, and somebody comes walking up to you and says, I have to tell you, you just have such great energy, and there's something about you that I just wanted to come over and introduce myself and say hello, And, you know, I think, you know, maybe there's some way that we can learn more about each other and do some business together. Obviously, if you're at a leadership conference, that's a lot easier than a sub shop, but you could do the same thing in a sub shop by walking over, smiling, eye contact, just saying like, hey, I just want to tell you I love your blouse, and it's so nice to see somebody that's positive for a change. You're emitting great energy. Love to tell you, have a great day. Those three things that you just did, physical proximity, eye contact, and the resonance of, I loved your shirt, I love the energy, that sort of acknowledgement, boom, that'll get the job done. And then the final thing is vulnerability. One of the things I did at the beginning of this phone call, by the way, do you remember the story that I told Whitney? It was about the Twitter thing, right?
Absolutely.
And it was, and forgetting the login, and then my kid, you know, being logged into my account. A couple things, and that story's not a setup, by the way. It's just exactly what was happening in the moment. I showed you guys that even in the wake of that bio, I'm still real. Like, I may do a lot of things, but at the end of the day, I'm no different than anybody that's listening on this phone. And I have breakdowns. I have technological difficulties. I had a massive fight with my husband the other day. Like, all those kinds of things that make you human, that make you vulnerable, make it so much easier for people to click with you. So here's the deal. Number one, close proximity. That means put yourself close to the people you want to get connected to. It's obvious, right? That means if there's somebody at work that can help you advance, get yourself to lunch with them. Sit near them in meetings. Talk to them more. Stop in the hallway. The proximity piece is key. Number two, fish for similarities so that you can create resonance. Number three, we're going to go with the touch and the eye contact. And number four, wherever possible, when you can share something that makes you look human or vulnerable and ask for help, or just share it to cut the ice, that's going to make you more memorable, and it's going to make people click with you because you have more reasons to feel similar. Everybody listening has had problems logging into something. Everybody listening has started something feeling like, oh my God, I'm not prepared. And everybody listening that has kids or knows kids, which means everybody, has had kids hijack their stuff at some point or time. So that created the ability for you guys to feel more connected. Let's move on to the networking piece. So here's the deal with networking. I hate it. You hate it. There's nothing worse than going to a networking meeting. And even with somebody that's got a very outgoing personality, that's the last thing I want to do. I want to be home with my family. I don't want to be out drumming up business. I don't want to be out like pretending I'm really interested in standing around and getting to know people. So I basically turn it into a game. When you go to one of these leadership conferences, I want you to say to yourself, I'm not leaving here until I collect 17 business cards. When you go to a networking meeting, you can do the same thing. I'm not leaving here until I collect 8 business cards. Then you turn it into a game, and this is what I do. I walk into any kind of room where I'm there to network, to meet people, to do whatever, and I immediately let my gut do the talking. And I kind of scan the room, and I look and I see, okay, who am I drawn to? You're a pretty good read, maybe not with romantic partners, but you're a pretty good read on people. So let your gut kind of notice who you're drawn to. And people will start popping. You'll see somebody, you'll be like, ooh, staying away from that person. You'll see somebody else, you're like, great energy. Love that lady. Got to go talk to her. You'll see somebody like, love the blouse. Got to go talk to that person. You'll see somebody, you're like, huh, just something about the way that person's just standing there. Interesting. Walk straight toward the person. You walk up to them, you introduce yourself, you're both at a networking meeting for crying out loud, and you say, hey, there's just something about you that made me want to come over and say hello. I'm Mel Robbins. Here's my business card. I would love to exchange cards with you, and what I'd really like to do is let's exchange cards, and then we can go home and kind of Google one another and check out each other's websites, and that'll give me a chance to see if there's anything I can do to help you, and vice versa. And then we can set up a call. I'll send you an email about what my thoughts are as to where there might be some overlap. And then we can set up a call and really be efficient about how we might be able to help one another. I have never in 7 years of using that technique had somebody say no. In fact, what happens is people are so relieved that you've made it easy. And they also are so relieved that you're kind of acknowledging that you're both there in this kind of setup situation that neither one of you wants to be in. And it also then sets you up to have a really powerful conversation, because going back to what we were talking about with the instant clicking, what are you going to do when you take their business card? You're going to go home and Google them. And what are you going to be looking for? You're going to be looking for, where are their similarities? Where is their resonance? Who do they know on their LinkedIn profile that I'd like to know? What business are they in, and how might I be able to help them, and how might they be able to help me? Now you can have the kind of conversation with the person, because you have all this data to be able to actually click with them. That's the secret to networking. You establish how many business cards you're going to get ahead of time. You walk into the room and you let your gut do the kind of directional pull. You walk straight up to people. You tell them why you're there, that you'd love to exchange business cards. You'll do a little research and then schedule a phone call when you can, you know, figure out that it's going to be relevant. And then finally, how do you say yes to the person but no to the task? If you are the kind of person that has trouble saying no, you're going to love this. So whenever somebody asks you to do something, it might be your kid asking you to wash their soccer uniform. It might be your partner asking you to run an errand after work, even though you're exhausted. It might be your boss asking you to do something that is just going to mean your entire weekend is gone. What you do is you start the response by saying, yes, I would love to wash your soccer uniform. Or, yes, I would love to build out that Excel table for you so you have it for your presentation on Monday. Or, yes, I would love to stop by CVS and pick up all the stuff that I asked you to get yesterday. But what you do is you say, yes, I'd love to do that for you. And then you say, and I can only do it if this, this, and this. So with your kid, you say, and I can only do it if you can clean up your room and unload the dishwasher, because those are the things that I'm supposed to be doing. Now you've put it back in their plate to make a choice. You've said yes to them, but you've kind of said, no, I'm not going to do it unless you can help me in these areas. For your partner, yeah, I'd love to stop by CVS. And will you have a great cocktail and dinner ready when I get home? Because it just means that you've added 20 minutes to the day. Your boss, yes, I'd love to do the Excel table, but I've got this 15 other projects. And if you can take 7 of them off my plate and reassign them to somebody else, that'll give me the bandwidth to do it. That's how you say yes to somebody, but no to the thing. Because what you're communicating when you do that is you're communicating all the other responsibilities that you have that the person may not be aware of, or you're communicating what you need to be supported in order to grant the request. There you go. Whitney, you got anything for me?
Fantastic. I actually do have a number of questions, but I do want to just remind people who are on Twitter, if you're in Texas, at Texas Women, we're live tweeting right now, in Pennsylvania, at Penn Women, and Massachusetts is at Mass Women, and of course, Mel is at Mel Robbins, although she needs to reboot her account in order to get up and running again.
Dude, you know what I'm doing right now? I'm doing what every woman knows how to do, multitask. I'm now like trying to log into my computer and get this thing figured out. So I will be logged on in just a second. And by the way, I would also love it if you would take the time to go to my website, which is melrobbins.com, and if you click on the drop-down for it, I can tell you what it is. There's a newsletter sign-up, and we are launching a daily newsletter that is going to give you the top 3 news stories of the day written in a way that is informative and educational and entertaining, along with a piece of shareable content, you know, the emotional stuff that you see every single day. And here's the cool thing. We're donating 50% of the revenue from this new company to support public school education charities. So by reading the news, just like you do on CNN and everywhere else, by simply coming to us as well, you'll be directly educating yourself and directly contributing to the education of somebody else. So if you go to Mel Robbins to Robbins Rundown and you click on newsletter, you can sign up, and we're launching that in 2 weeks.
Fantastic. Now, back to instant connections and networking. So, Mel, you make it sound so easy. You come into a room, you make eye contact, you put your arm on someone's forearm. What's the hardest part for most people about making an instant connection, and what can they do about overcoming that?
Walking towards someone. Seriously, like the hardest part about anything in life is that you never actually start. Once you start, momentum takes over. And so, you know, the biggest rule about life change is that you're never going to feel like it. It's kind of like sex when you get in your 40s, at least for me. you're never going to feel like walking towards someone. You're never going to feel comfortable approaching somebody. It's just the battle that you wage every day. And I think if you know that you're going to feel that kind of, ugh, in your head, and you're not going to feel like it, and you just start walking anyway, as soon as you have that thought, okay, I want to meet that person, take action in 5 seconds. That's it. Don't wait to feel comfortable doing it. Just start walking. I speak all the time, and it's always amazing to me, but not surprising in some regard, that after every speech, if I'm at a conference, I'll have hundreds of women walk up to me and say, you dared me to do one thing and just start walking. And so I decided to just walk over to you and say hello. And so that's the hardest part. The hardest part is actually sitting next to the person or walking toward them or beginning.
So you feel pulled to be home with your family, but you take that one step and commit to going to some networking event or meeting where you have the opportunity to meet some new people. So once you get there, you take that one step, how do you personally get the most out of these opportunities?
Well, I don't ever go with any – I try not to go with people that I know, because you tend to then move around in a pack, because it's more fun to be with the people that you know, or I make a pact with them that we're splitting up, we're each getting X number of cards. I don't say we're staying here an hour. I say we're staying here until we have 8 cards, then we're out of here, because then you have a goal. And so I just, like, I acknowledge what's so. I don't want to be there. I'm there for a reason. I know darn well if I just force myself to start that I will get value out of it. And I always do. So you can't let your feelings about things dictate what actions you take. You have to let your commitment, which is to grow your business or grow yourself or meet new people, be what drives you. I love getting to know people. I am so curious. I'm so interested. I love helping people however I can, but I hate networking. That's never going to change. So I just do it anyway, and I figure out a way to be as efficient as possible so I can then go off with my girlfriends and go have a glass of wine or get back home and see the kids and my husband.
So, Mel, we have thousands of women getting ready in the coming months to come to some of our conferences, Texas, Pennsylvania, Massachusetts, hundreds of them on the call right now. So making it a game, they're going to come in, get 17 business cards, go home to their family.
Mm-hmm.
It's all great advice for when you're at the actual conference. What would you suggest they do ahead of time leading up to the conference in order to set themselves up for some success?
Fabulous question. So I'm going to answer this two ways. First of all, I just want to acknowledge and thank everybody that's on the call, because you took time out to spend a half an hour with me and with Whitney, and I am honored and I thank you for your time, and I hope that you got something out of this, and I hope that you reach out to me and email me or, you know, sign up for the newsletter so I can do what I can to help you. That's number one. Number two, I want you to think about what would be the most amazing thing that could come out of this conference, whether you're paying for it yourself or your employer is making you go. What is it that would be a magical thing to have happen? Because I'm going to tell you something. I guarantee you that there is a person attending the conference, and there are sessions at the conference, and there are people in every room that you're going to be sitting in that can help you achieve that magical thing. I guarantee it. And so if you want to write a book, if you want to launch your business, if you simply want to figure out how to position yourself to climb the ranks in your company, if you want to recover from a horrendous divorce, if you want to find the love of your life, if you want to do single parenting by choice, like regardless of what your dream is, there is somebody in every room that has done it. And so if you're clear about what you're kind of hoping magically happens, that you get inspired by, that you learn about, that you feel like you create this beginning, you'll be more likely to bump into and meet the people that can help you do it. And, you know, one more thing, I think it was probably about 8 years ago, I went to a conference by Oprah Winfrey that was when she used to do those Live Your Best Life conferences, and I went there to network. And I figured at the time, because I had a business where I was doing a ton of business coaching, that that would be the dynamite event to network, right? You got a ton of small business owners and women there, and you know they're all looking to change, and that was my business to help facilitate people changing, blah, 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 blah. So I walk into one of the sessions, and I sit down, and Martha Beck, who writes articles for her, best-selling author, life coach, on television with her when Oprah had her show on, she walks on stage. Now, I wasn't looking to make a career change. I was there to land clients. But she walked on stage, and I all of a sudden was like, oh, my God, I want to be doing what she's doing. And that was the beginning of me taking a total, like, left turn and going from running my own private coaching business and stepping into the media business and television and radio and books and public speaking. And you just never know what's going to happen when you get thousands of women together and you take a day to just allow yourself to be inspired. So figure out secretly what would be magical for yourself. Walk into that conference with your kind of gut turned on. Pay attention to what you're drawn to and be open to whatever comes and make requests. That's what I would do.
Thank you, Mel, and thank you, everybody, who joined us today. I know that we'll be seeing so many of you at the conference in the coming month. Again, melrobbins.com if you're interested in signing up for Mel's newsletter, and our Texas Twitter at Texas Women, at Penn Women for Pennsylvania.
Oh, look, I see people signing up. I want to thank Kathleen. I want to thank all these folks that are kind of going to sign up. That is so cool. Lana Miner. Look at this. Heather. Oh, my God, I'm going to start to cry. This is fantastic.
Well, thank you, everybody, for joining us. And thank you, Mel. We look forward
thank you, everybody.
To
I'll see y'all in Austin.
Us.
And don't
all
be
right.
Strangers, guys. Reach out. Bye.